This morning's reading is from the Book of Lamentations. Perhaps that's not a book you read very often, but my goodness, it's got some amazing gems in. So if you're going to follow it in a Bible, you have to go past the middle, not far past the middle, and you come to Lamentations. So Lamentations chapter 3, and I'm reading from verse 19. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love for us, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those who hope in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. Let him bury his face in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him offer his cheek to one who would strike him, and let him be filled with disgrace. For men are not cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love. For he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men. This is the gospel of Christ.
Good morning, everybody. It's great to be here, and it's great to be with you on internet and on CD or DVD, whatever it is. It's lovely to see so many youngsters here today. I do apologise, this service and certainly this sermon is not tailored to you, but it is great to see you. So if you fall asleep, I won't mind, okay? I received this week, on Saturday, the Tear Times regular circular. And I read this little bit with alarm. A Tear Fund staff member who can't be named shares a first-hand account of living in Myanmar's terrifying coup, where the military has seized power. On 1st February 2021... the day a new Myanmar parliament was about to be installed, the military took over, announcing a state of emergency for a year. Those behind the coup claim national elections in February 2020 were flawed. The next few days were quiet, but a week later demonstrations broke out across the country. The military introduced curfews, maintained with force, with violent crackdowns on protesters. Since then, hundreds of people are reported to have been killed, with more than 5,000 arrested. Seeing the terrified children in our families, the killing of innocent protesters, the grief of those who have lost family members, and the news about arrests of our close friends raises anger, fear, hatred and hopelessness in all of us, says a Tear Fund staff member who can't be named. We are tempted to ask God, why me? And why again? Shades of Afghanistan in the last two or three weeks, and shades of Jerusalem in 586 AD, no, BC. Because that's when our reading was set. Last week, Caroline wonderfully finished off our short series on the Psalms with number 89. Which is all about God's love and his faithfulness. And it actually provided a great starter for our new series on faithfulness. And that ranges through the Old Testament and through the New Testament letters in particular. But there's a possibility of, in the middle, the ultimate demonstration of God's faithfulness to all human beings as we look at the sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. couple of weeks ago, we enjoyed in this building Rob and Hayley's wedding. And I know there are one or two other weddings imminent or just happened as well. It was good that the couple there were able to declare their promises. And in the middle of the promises, they said, Phil asked Sam, will you be faithful to Hayley as long as you both shall live? And then he turned to Hayley, will you be faithful to Rob as long as you both shall live? I'm relieved that they both said yes. But I was reminded of an incident between an elderly couple at the end of their married life. Norman and Edie had been married 65 years, and they'd just enjoyed a wonderful celebration of their anniversary with their family, their children and their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren. They'd eventually made it back to their home and got up to bed, and they were just about to settle down and go back to sleep, and Edie said to Norman, Norman, do you remember when we were first married? And Norman sort of scratched his head. And she said, you used to put your arm around me. So he put his arm around her. She said, you used to run your fingers through my lovely blonde hair. So he ran his fingers through her lovely grey hair. You used to just nuzzle me on the cheek. So he did that. And you used to give me a great big sloppy kiss. And with that, he jumped out of bed. Well, he got out of bed. He came back 2 or 3 minutes later and went through the rigmarole again and gave her a big kiss. And she said, oh, that was lovely, Norman. But where did you go? He said, I went to put my teeth in. Faithfulness and love throughout our lives. And of course, love is at the centre of every marriage. And it's great that we have St. Paul's wonderful prayer poem from 1 Corinthians 13, not only to remind us of the nature of the love that he gives to us and expects from a married couple for each other, but of the love that he gives to each one of us if we care to open our hands and our heart to receive him. So he says, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. But of course, God's faithfulness goes even deeper than this, because it is about his constant and his unchanging love, but it's also about his love, his mercy, and his holiness. Let's begin with his holiness, because this is why the nation of Israel is in such a catastrophic state in our reading. It's been conquered, it's been overrun, it's been taken into slavery and exile by the Babylonians. The nation is in mourning. It's in despair, because it seems that God is allowing this to happen. In fact, he may even be using the Babylonians to make it happen because of the apostasy of his people. God is holy. He is different to us. He is apart from human beings. He's holy. When he chooses the person or when he chooses the nation, he asks for something in return. He asks for loyalty. And right through the Old Testament, we read of the nation Israel and many individuals going away from God. Trace the path of the Israelites through the Exodus. Remember the golden calf? Look at the decline of the kingship after David and Solomon. And you can find that in Samuel and Kings. The royals behave, and royalty seems to get worse and worse with each succession. For example, 1 Kings 16:30 says, Ahab, son of Omri, did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any king before him. It's getting worse. And of course, you can read the despair that comes through many times in the minor prophets. There was a continuing downward spiral in the worship, in the loyalty, in the morality, in the steadfastness of people, of priests, and of royalty. So that eventually God said, enough. He even spelt it out through his loyal prophets, Jeremiah and Isaiah and Zechariah. And they all write about the downfall of the nation and of the Babylonians' part in it. Jeremiah's book of prophecy makes quite hard reading, doesn't it, if you've read it? There's so much doom and gloom. It's probable that he also wrote the book of Lamentations. And other than these few verses of light that Sheila read to us today, and four verses at the end, it doesn't make joyful reading. In fact, somebody has called it Jeremiah's book of woes, because it is full of woe. Yet, just as the writer of the letter to the Hebrews in the New Testament declares, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, most of the Old Testament writers, including this one, return at some point to God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness runs right through this wonderful book. Let's look at what we read together in verse 19. It starts off with, I remember my afflictions and my wanderings, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Not a very good start, is it? The city of Jerusalem is in ruins. The plight of the Hebrew nations is dire. They're either in captivity in Babylon or living in poverty in Israel. The difficulties for families don't bear thinking about. Just think of Kabul and worse. And the fact that it seems to be God's will, help! And then verse 21. Yet, how much richer our language is for conjunctions, isn't it? Witness St. Paul's use of the word therefore before he develops some of his incredible truths. In this reading, in this book, despite the weight of the 61 verses of woe that have gone before this and the 70 or so verses that follow it, Jeremiah can say, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Why? Because of the Lord's great love we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Hallelujah. Jeremiah is so steeped in the Lord that even in this situation, he can bring to the forefront of his mind God's love and his compassion. Sometimes the word mercy is used, but compassion is an active word, isn't it? It's not like pity. Pity conveys the idea that you're feeling sorry for the person, which is fine. But compassion, with passion, is God's love in action. Do you remember how Jesus so many times had compassion? We read that he had compassion on those who were sick, and he healed them. God's compassion in action. God's mercies never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, writes Jeremiah. And of course that means that effectively they are there all the time. They are continuously being renewed. Because when it's evening in New Zealand, it's morning here. So always, somewhere on the globe, it is morning, and God is pouring out continuously his love and his mercies. He is always reaching out to individuals, to you and to me, with his love and his compassion and his mercy, displaying his faithfulness. Thank you, Lord. In the Bible, we can detail Moses and David and Goliath and Gideon and Ruth and Nehemiah and Job and so many more who experienced separation and difficulty. and yet experienced God's faithfulness. Can any human being have experienced more loss than Job? He lost his family. He lost his possessions. He lost his status. He lost his physical comfort. Yet he declares in Job 19:25, I know that my Redeemer lives. Yes. And just listen to what happened to him at the end of Job. After Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord made him prosperous again and gave him twice as much as he had before. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the first. After this, Job lived 140 years. He saw his children and their children to the fourth generation, and so he died, old and full of years. That is God's faithfulness in action to his faithful servants. And throughout history, God continues to display his faithfulness. We think of St. Patrick, St. David, Thomas Aquinas, Martin Luther, John Calvin, Joan of Arc, John Wesley, William Booth, Wilson Carlyle. The list is endless. And it includes you and me. When we choose to follow the living God, when he chooses us, we become his sons and his daughters. We become servants of the King, and we can rely on and daily experience God's love and his faithfulness. To you and me, God says, cling on to my promises, even at the worst times in your life. You will find my promises in my book, and there are hundreds and hundreds of them. Promises like the one we read today. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. But more than that, he says, I want to be in relationship with you through Jesus, my son. And Jesus says to you, and he says to me, come to me, all you who are weary and are heavy loaded, and I will give you rest. He says to you and me, I am with you always. He says to you and me, through St. Paul, there is nothing that will ever be able to separate you from the love of God, which is yours through Jesus Christ. And he says, I want you to join with me in my kingdom work. Go and make disciples. Serve in my body. There's a place for everybody. And in everything you do, give glory to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Please will you pour out your love and your faithfulness on each one of us today. We ask that you will come, Holy Spirit, and touch the lives of each person here, of each person who is listening and watching. Come, Holy Spirit.